Yes, it is the last week of 2023, and I wanted to press pause and just kind of hang out, spend 10 minutes together, talk about Psalm 23 and how it impacts not just my life, but your life, not just this past year, but what's next for us in 2024. So I'm going to share kind of like my version, my interpretation of it. I'll try to keep the language I use pretty general. That way, non-religious people would hear it and be like, "Yeah, that makes sense." So I'll try to lay off the Christianese, if you will. And I have my trusty sidekick Drew with me, just laid down. So we're doing it. I'm in my backyard and right next to some water. Beautiful sky, cloudy, but still beautiful, and nature and life all around me. So. Anyway, with that being said, let's get into Psalm 23. So I'm going to take it kind of verse by verse or thought by thought, and I'm going to say the actual verse, and then I will give you my interpretation. Cool? All right. Take a deep breath. Whenever I approach scripture or a meditative practice or prayer, I do try to center myself, or recenter myself, I should say, on God, on the eternal lover of my soul, everything, the world. I mean, it's pretty far out. So, you know, I'm going to take a deep breath. And release, recentered on God, recentered on who I am in Christ. So Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, or I lack nothing. This to me is beautiful because it's an abundance mindset. I don't believe we're made to live in a deficit mindset. I don't believe we're made to be in a state of lack. I believe that the God who I believe in and worship and seek and enjoy and try to do life with, I believe that God is the creator and sustainer of all life. So for me to be in a deficit mindset when I am God, Yahweh's shepherd, or I'm Yahweh's sheep, it'd be silly. When I know who I am, and better yet, when I know whose I am, I'm able to say I lack nothing. I am never, never in want. I have everything I need. And the last thing I'll say there is not because you understand, like in this verse, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. It doesn't begin, I lack nothing. No, it begins with position, who I am in Christ, who I am in relation to God, in relation to the one, the eternal one, the mystery of God, right? So in relation to God, I lack nothing because of who God is. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He makes me lie down in abundance. I have everything I need, and there's green pastures all around me. This Psalm 23 has really come to life for me when I started praying and saying this scripture that I memorized to my daughter, Gianna. So I'll put her in the first person. You know, I'll say, the Lord is your shepherd. You lack nothing. He makes Gianna lie down in green pastures. So I say that to bring up this idea that if you haven't read scripture in the first person, I would challenge you to do so. I think it's a powerful practice. So that's a side note. But anyway, yeah, it's funny, right? This implies that God has to make us realize everything we have already. He makes me lie down in green pastures. That means there's abundance. But so many times we're distracted. So many times we are focused on what we don't have, apparently. What we think we lack, when in reality we don't, right? So he has to make us do something. It's not for, you know, it's not for, and it's not like a, you know, he's not forcing us to do anything, but he's saying, well, I know what is in their best interest, so I'm going to make them realize their best. I'm gonna make them realize everything I've already given them. And so he makes us lie down in green pastures. There's abundance everywhere. But we get so caught up and distracted, we often forget it. Good boy. That's right, buddy. I want to take a sec to look in your eyes, dude, because you're a gift from God, man. Love you. My puppy is just trying to get in this this video, this podcast. Okay, anyway, moving on. He leads me beside still waters. He leads me beside still waters. There are peaceful streams of living water accessible at this very moment. At any given moment in time, you can be led into the peaceful, still waters of God through Christ. And that is beautiful. Like, that is insanely, that's insanely good news. Like, that's really good news. Because, again, life can be chaotic. Life can be very messy. But he can lead you, if you're willing, to still waters, to peaceful, calm waters. In the car ride, thinking about this episode, I also thought to myself, oh, that's interesting, because even water, like, Jesus talks about the living water. Water is a very spiritual metaphor. It's a physical reality as well, obviously. But it's, I think God uses, he set the world up in a way where literal truth reflects a greater truth. So, like, even physical truth like water, physical things like water, actually point to something like much more real and much more powerful, which is pretty far out. Because water, right? H2O, two hydrogen molecules and an oxygen one. That's three. That's triune. That's Trinitarian, which is pretty cool because I believe, I'm not sure about you, but I believe in a God who is three yet one. So this eternal mystery, this eternal flow that is three in one, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And again, these words, they describe as best they can to what the mystery of God is. But that's it's a really powerful thought that I thought of water and the nature of water and how it points to something greater. So take that or leave it. But okay, so the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in abundance. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He brings me back to original intent. He wipes off like a piece of gold with infirmities or things attached to it that may not be pure. He refines me. He puts me through the furnace of his love, and there's nothing left at the end but who he created me to be in Christ. And that's it. That's my true self. That's your true self. He brings us back. He restores us. He redeems us back to our original creation, back to our original intimacy and love and relationship with him. We are the most us when we are the most in him. Does that make sense? Like, we are the most us when we are being exactly who he made us to be. And as we be that person, as we abide in his love, we then become more us, which is crazy, which is beautiful. As we give ourselves, as I give myself over to God, the one who created and loves my soul into being every breath, every moment, the more I become the most me, the more I become the real me, the most truest, authentic, and honest me there's ever been or ever will be. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. So he restores my soul. He leads me into paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So all the people who aren't you know, into Christianese or scripture can be very KJV sometimes, very, very religious sounding, but righteousness is a very, religious word, let's say. But, you know, right paths, true paths, right standing with him, you know, like a purity, I think is a good word. And again, this is all me just being myself and limited worldview, understanding, wisdom. But I'm trying to help put this into, you know, better context, or I guess more relatable context. Good boy. Good boy. So righteousness, right? So he leads me in right paths for his name's sake. So the good news is this. There's more good news, right? Whoa, it keeps getting better. But like the good news is you won't go down the right paths eventually because of you being so great or because of me being so awesome. He leads us into the right paths, the right ways for his name's sake, for his glory, because of who he is. I heard a quote today, I reread it, and it's like, God doesn't love you because you're so good. He loves you because he's so good. Meaning, he doesn't love me because of me. He loves me because of him. And so, him being God, him being something that never changes. God never changes. So, that's a beautiful reality to where you can bank on it. You can be confident, not in yourself, not in your abilities or inabilities, your strengths or your weaknesses. No. Be confident in God to be who God says he'll be, to do what God says he'll do. And that is something you can freaking bank on, man. Like, that is the truth, and you can stand on that. So he'll lead you in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. True. Okay. Even though I walk through the darkest of valleys, when I should be the most fearful, the most uncertain, the most restless, I fear nothing. I fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. For you are with me. You are together in this moment with me. There's never a moment where you're outside of God's presence, outside of his awareness. There's nothing that happens in your life or my life where God goes, oops, didn't see that coming. There's nowhere we can go, Psalm 139, to hide or to run away or to get out of reach from God's love, God's presence, God's eternal pursuit of bringing us back, like the prodigal son, to original intent, to original standing as a son, as a daughter, right? Keep reading. So you guys get 2-for-1 special. You guys get me, and you also get Drew. Good boy. We're almost done, buddy. Almost done. Okay, where was I? I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Meaning, God's going to do everything he needs to do to protect you.
Drew, sit. Doesn't listen to me. Well, he's going to do everything he needs to do to protect you, to guard you, to guide you. And so I trust in him to do that because he's got the resources. He's got the tools that he needs. And he uses many things, like his word. He uses prayer. He uses stillness. He uses silence. He uses nature. He uses your spouse, your friends. He uses other people in your life to help you uncover more truths and more wisdom, more experiential knowing from other people. And so he uses different things. He can use a dog, right? I just got frustrated at my puppy for being a puppy. And, you know, it's like he's just being himself. And yet I prayed for a dog and we got a dog and I prayed for wisdom and he gave me a dog. So it's like it all connects, okay? He's giving me wisdom, giving me patience because he knows I asked for it. So there it is. There's Drew. He prepares a table. So back to it. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. So he prepares a feast. God prepares a feast to enjoy and to have an abundance, right? In the presence of everything that is against me. And so David speaking way back before Christ of physical, literal enemies, whereas today, nobody is my enemy per se. No human is my enemy. Apostle Paul talks about our enemy is not flesh and blood. Our enemy is not people. It's spiritual, you know, it's spirits. It's the spirit of whatever, pride, lust, separation, right? It's the spirit of this that's working in the world until people wake up, until Christ, God shines on them through Christ, right? So essentially, that's how we can say, like, if anyone's been born again or born from above or believed and had God, you know, had an experience of God happening to them through faith and by grace alone, then you can kind of agree with me that your past life was, before that, was kind of like you were just dead. Like, yeah, it wasn't you, right? It was a former life. That's not really who you are anymore, which is powerful. Paul says, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. It's another hard hitting. I mean, try to mine the depths of that truth. New creation. The old is past. Behold, everything has become new. Your past life is gone. It's not who you are. Your true self is who you are now in Christ, who you've always been. But you just realize that, finally, by faith, through grace, by God reaching down and divine intervention, basically. So, pretty beautiful. Moving on. In the presence of all my enemies, you anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. You anoint my head with oil. Do I deserve this oil? Do I deserve this anointing? Do I deserve this gift and these blessings? Anything you have in your life, do you deserve this? I mean, no, but God, that's not about you. God just does what he does. So he blesses you. He anoints your head with oil and your cup overflows always. That is a fact. It's not a if or maybe or I hope so, but a reality that needs to be realized. And so I pray for both you and me and everybody that's close to us that we awaken to this abundance, that we awaken to this overflow of blessing in our life, of love and of joy and of peace and of everything we've already been given in Christ. That's what I want and I hope for in the new year 2024. My cup overflows. And I believe it's the last verse or two. It's the last thought. But if there's one thing that King David, the author of this passage, could bank on 100% is this right here. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. So I like to, here's my version. 100% fact. Here is a 100% fact. Goodness, mercy, truth, and love. God will pursue me. He'll follow me all the days of my life. Every single day, every single hour, every single minute, every single moment, you are eternally and constantly pursued by God. You are absolutely, eternally, unconditionally loved. And that's crazy. That is, for some of you listening, you've never heard that before. You never realized that to be true, maybe. But you are eternally, unconditionally pursued and loved by your creator, the one who brought you into being. So that's who I say. When I say trust God, or God first, or find God, or seek God, I'm talking about that being, the one who loved you so much to bring you into existence, to speak you into being, and who will never stop pursuing you for eternity. He'll never stop pursuing you until he realizes, until you realize that relationship with him, right? He's done everything, yeah? He has reached into human history and showed us his love. So I'm gonna seek that God, right? I'm gonna seek that love. Goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I will live with God. I will dwell, it says, in the house of the Lord forever. So I'm going to live with God and with my loved ones and with all of creation finally restored and renewed in perfect peace forever. So when I read that too, it's like, well, the house of the Lord forever. Well, where's the Lord? Where does he, you know, what's in the house of the Lord? Well, it's God, right? What's good a house if God's not in it? So I think that's the important part is, you know, heaven, I'll probably end on this, but, you know, heaven is less a place, and this is my opinion, heaven is less a place and it's more a personal presence, a personal relationship. I mean, if you're with your creator, that's heaven. That's at least on a smaller scale, like this side of heaven, let's say, this side of eternity, whatever happens when we're dead, that reality, whatever it feels like, looks like. Heaven is being in that oneness with God, being in relationship, you know, giving and receiving and reflecting and like giving God glory and then being loved and being in, you know, enjoying Him, but like being who He created you to be. It's this like amazing, beautiful, relational being, reality, presence. And so it's, that's what I'm looking forward to. That's what you're looking forward to, I hope. And we can get to, you know, we can get bits and pieces of that here and now, right? We can feel a little heaven on earth, 100%. I mean, it says in scripture somewhere, I'm going to butcher it, but for the righteous, right? For the people who are in right standing, who have awakened to their true identity in Christ, and they believe in what God says to be true for them, it gets better and better. Like, we go from glory to glory. We go from good to great to better, you know, to best, right? So it's pretty sweet. Well, I've rambled for about 15 minutes. I think that's pretty solid. I hope that's still going. Oh, gosh. Guess we'll see. Oh, I don't think it's going. Well, I hope we got the audio on that. Anyway, love you. Thanks for listening. Looks like my camera had some, or my audio had some, technical difficulties. So, all right.